Our next panel is one that I always find to be a highlight of convention. We like to hear about what we're doing, meaning what we as blind people are doing. So, and I try and find, you know, different new people to be on these panels and talk about new and different jobs. So this year, we just had two NFB veterans move from other states to come work for the federal government, I'm told I have to say, because they can't really say which exact department and bureau they work for without getting written permission first. So they work for the federal government. And I also had occasion to get a contact, I don't know, 6 months ago with Samir?
That's right. Yep.
Yeah, Samir called me about 6 months ago. And Samir fascinates me. Actually, I got a call from Dr. Maurer telling me he would call me because at the time, Samir was thinking about running for office, and he has a very, very interesting job. Now, all three of these gentlemen also deserve congratulations because Paul and Nick just got through their training, and I understand Samir also deserves congratulations, but I think I'll let him tell you why. So, without further ado, I'm going to put Samir on first because we just did computer stuff, and you'll see why that ties in. Okay, Samir?
All right, so I'm Samir Doshi. I'm a vice president at Citi, and I help develop applications that are used in payments and transactions, and our publicly disclosed figure is we do $3.3 trillion worth of currency transactions a day. So it's quite a lot of money that moves around throughout the world, and I help write software for it. What Patty was referencing is I no longer actually have my hands on the keyboard anymore, unfortunately, because I've moved into a management position, and I've recently been told I'll be moving into a role as a senior vice president and managing 77 people. Right now I have 55
awesome.
Under me.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Give him a hand. Yeah, please do. Congratulations.
Thanks. So should we move on to the other people on the panel?
No, keep going. Talk about your job.
Okay, so my job involves, on a general day-to-day basis, being in touch with software engineers that I manage that are around the world. In the U.S., all spread throughout the U.S., spread throughout Ireland, India, Singapore, and, you know, it really involves being in touch with them, making sure that they have the right requirements, making sure that they are tracking to complete their defects. You know, the panel that was just on here, they were talking about how JAWS has a problem with accessibility, and that would be opened as a defect to be tracked and resolved, and my job is to make sure that my engineers or my managers have engineers who are working on resolving those defects. And when you're in the business like I am, where you're doing transactions so frequently without stopping 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you've got major money riding on the line, you've got to make sure that everything is up. You've got to make sure your people are doing things with quality. And you know, I'm really happy to say that one of the comments I receive a lot upon meeting people for the first time in person is, "Oh, wow, I had no idea you were blind." And, you know, I think that just speaks to the fact that technology and just the general attitude of the blind community has moved to a point where I think you can be blind without people noticing and without people knowing, especially people who, you know, you may never meet. I know there have been several people who I've had in India and Singapore who have never met me in person. They have never seen me on a video conference, and I'm sure that to this day they have no idea that I can't see the text that they're you know presenting to me. But the nice thing about this is, and the nice thing about Citi in general is, I think that the extra explanations that I need serve as an asset and help improve the efficiency of the organization in general. One of the biggest problems at our organization is we have something like 1,000 mails that we get every single day. And, you know, being blind, I can't process that many mails. But I've been able to make my team really go through a process of decreasing that number. And that kind of efficiency is noticed by management because it helps everyone. So I think that, you know, there's a lot of assets that we as a community can bring to the table, and it's really up to us to bring them out there. So on a general day-to-day basis, I do several meetings a day, several PowerPoint presentations, lots of meeting and tracking and making sure that my people are on track. My software budget and my labor budget is $20 million a year, and I'm able to manage that without any kind of problems or anything. I think in general, city is a great place to work, and the job that I have is one that I really love and really pride myself on. It calls for me to travel all the time. I've had to go to New York City, you know, ridden around in the subway up there without any kind of problems, and it's a really nice thing. Something else I should mention is that many Fortune 500 companies, like Citi, have dedicated staff that are ADA compliance officers. So if I ever need software like ZoomText or WindowEyes or anything else, I literally just call up my ADA compliance officer and say, hey, I'm having trouble doing X, Y, or Z, and this wonderful lady named Kay Mathis will come to my aid and present solutions that seem to work. For a Fortune 500 company, I think it's something like, we have something like over 200 or 300 people who become disabled in some various manner per month. And so having a compliance officer really helps. And for me, it makes a huge difference because I can just call her right up and get any problem that I need resolved right away and get back to doing the day-to-day duties of managing those 55 people.
Thank you, Samir. We're going to take questions for all three at the end. So, Nick or Paul, who's going next?
I'll go if you want.
Okay.
Please. Good afternoon. I have to apologize for my voice. I'm working on a little bit of a cold here. I've done a couple different positions working with assistive technology. First, as my eyesight started to decline, I was a aircraft dispatcher with one of the major airlines, which involved, we were jointly responsible with the captain of the flight for the safety of the flight, doing diversions and mechanical problems and rooting around weather and stuff. And I started using ZoomText to see weather charts and the flight planning system that we're working with. Also used CCTV to go into the manuals and find the regulations or any of the directives that I needed to find. They all talk about high-tech and low-tech solutions. That was some of the high-tech. Some of the low-tech, we had a touchscreen phone system, and it was multi-layered, so I'd like call up stations like Albany, New York, and I'd push the button, and it'd give me all different parts of it, like maintenance or tower. So I could barely see it, so I would start to count over. Oh, I knew the tower or the station button was about three over once I went into it. So this started me thinking, I probably need to start looking into maybe a little bit more training or something. So I went to a NFB training center. I went to Louisiana Center for the Blind. When I finished that, I got some great training. And when I got out of that, I went right into college, went to University of Louisville, got my degree in business administration with an emphasis in management, got a minor in finance. And then what I'm doing now is with the agency up in Chicago. I'm a contract specialist. I call it GS1102. And what we do is contract for services and also products for the government. And it's very highly regulatory, just like aviation was. And we do we take contracts from what they say from cradle to grave. So what we do is we get a PR, a purchase request from a customer, like maybe a hospital wants to buy beds or something. They're looking to get a number of beds. So what we do is we do market research, see if maybe it's what they call commercial off the shelf. If it's already being made, it's we're going to be able to get it at a pretty good rate. So one other thing we look into is competition. They're very big into competition. Of course, we can keep the price down and that. Another one of the priorities is small businesses, especially veteran-owned small businesses. Disabled veteran-owned small businesses, they have what they call set-asides for that. They're very big on that. And so what we do is we post, it's called a solicitation. We put that out online. And depending on what we're buying, it could be, it depends on what we're buying is how long it's going to be out there. So we get offers in, and then we start negotiating with the vendors that have applied to it. So, and we negotiate on, typically it's what they call best value. The lowest price may not always be the best thing for the government. So we award the contract, and then we go into post-award, as I call it, or performance, where we make sure what we've ordered is being delivered, the correct quantity, the correct time, all that, make sure that's all happening. And then it goes right into closeout of the contract where, make sure in the warranty the customer got what they wanted, they're happy with what they got. Some of the stuff that I use, I have JAWS on a laptop. Also use since a lot of stuff is scanned in, it's PDF, so we use Kurzweil sometimes to convert that, which is optical character recognition. There's some of those. Nuance is another program that it's a commercial program that converts PDFs into Word documents, which helps out a lot. Some of the helpful things that I found is one thing I think like Chris mentioned in the college panel was understanding your technology, which has been very important, either understanding or being able to get to somebody that can help you. You know, you can ask the questions of, NFB has a lot of great resources. There's right like that Ann Taylor or that whole group over there, or there's plenty of people, Freedom Scientific, you can call them and get information from them. I've called them a few times. Like that, one of the big things is, you know, JAWS got that JAWS cursor and the virtual cursor, moving that around. And we had just recently in training an incident where we couldn't get into our contract management system. There was a function we had to, they have what they call a briefcase, where we have to upload documents into the file. Well, we got, you can, a sighted person can see the upload button, but we can't get to it. So what we had to figure out was we got all the way up there, then we had to switch to the JAWS cursor, and then go down four spots, over four spots, click the left mouse button to get the upload, which worked. Again, the, you know, the workarounds and stuff like that, but we got to that. And same thing, like, again, in college, if anybody's played with any Excel and pivot tables, which they were big at in my college course, was you have to move the JAWS cursor over to the right side, drag the virtual cursor over, do what you need to, come back over to the left side with the virtual cursor, or the JAWS cursor, bring the virtual cursor back over. And I got to the exam, and the professor's like, he goes, Paul, I'm not sure you're going to be able to do this. This required, you know, kind of going all over. And when I started moving, you know, dragging the cursor around and moving it all over, he was pretty impressed with that. The next thing, again, a lot of the stuff they talked about in the college panel was being able to advocate for yourself is very important. Again, it was in college and also at work. Again, in training, we had kind of the same thing in college. We had instructors that would point at the board, and I call it the T's, that they start going this here and that there when you add this and these, those, this, the, you know, when they start saying that and pointing at the board, it doesn't mean anything to a blind person that can't see it. So we talked to them about that. Some of the PDFs that look impressive, but you know, some of those graphics that move and slide in from the sides and makes all sorts of noise. We talked to them about that. And one of the big things, one of the big forms, that PR, the purchase request I talked about, they had them originally set up that they had, it was looked like it was a table format, but it was actually set up visually. Whoever designed it did it visually with tabbing and stuff. So we had to, they you know, we talked to them about that, and they shifted that around. So they've been really helpful as far as that. And I guess one of the final things as far as a big help is resourcefulness. Again, like that, you know, that upload button on the briefcase file, the, you know, the pivot tables. Another thing, when we first got to our office, all those contracts coming in, all those offers coming in, they're all, they scan them in, and we have, it's called ScanSoft as a program. So they were scanning them in because they go, you know, we got them in PDFs, and they sent the first one to us, and JAWS did that empty document. And they're like, well, that's the program we got. We're not sure what we're going to be able to do. So what I started doing was right-clicking on the file, and, well, maybe I can convert it to an HTML. Maybe I can do this. And I looked around, and actually I found where there was a thing that said convert XPS to Word document. Well, it turned out to be that Nuance program. So we, you know, just a lot of that being resourceful and kind of looking in some of its natural curiosity and trying to figure out how to take care of things. So that's another important thing is kind of looking around and being resourceful.
All right. We have a microphone around.
Yep,
there?
Do.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Either way,
you
got one on either
you
side.
Got, you have.
You go.
I don't care. Whatever. Thanks. Paul did an outstanding job of describing what him and I do for the quote-unquote federal government. So I am going to take a different avenue with my portion of the panel. First of all, let me start off by saying thank you to the National Federation of the Blind, because I wouldn't be working if it wasn't for them.
Definitely.
I was introduced to the NFB in 2003 while working, oddly enough, for the Iowa Department for the Blind's Summer Transition Program. I took that job because it tied in to my undergraduate study of industrial and organizational psychology, which is a combination of personnel and business development tactics combined with psychology. I Upon graduation, the economy was absolutely horrible, and the job market was ultra competitive. I would go into interviews and have interviews against people that have been doing entry-level human resources positions. They were interviewing for entry-level human resource positions, and they had been in HR for 10, 15, 20 years. I'd walked into some interviews and knew that I was not going to get the job because of the way that they perceived my blindness. That went on. I pieced a resume together, but that I job searched for 6 years. 6 years from 2007 to 2013. It took me that long to find a full-time job anywhere. I pieced together part-time work for the state of Iowa's Department for the Blind. I worked in a restaurant for a while. I served as mayor, which I'm very proud of, in a small town in Iowa in which we built a new water system and sewer system, put together new roads, and wrote grants for various things such as beautification and remodeling some city hall buildings and other buildings in town. So I'm very proud of that work. However, it didn't pay. So I continued to search and search and search and search. And Rosie Thier at the Iowa Department for the Blind is great friends with James Omvig. Rosie Thier told James Omvig, Nick needs work. He's smart enough to work. He can work. He needs that, he needs that oomph, if you will, that push that the NFB provides day in and day out, year in and year out, month in and month out. So he called me and talked to me on the phone and said, Nick, he said, you need work. I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, send me your resume because I think I may have something in mind. He said, I myself and the National Federation of the Blind are partnering with Jan Fry, the Deputy Secretary of the VA, to establish a working relationship so blind people can integrate themselves within the work system. And James took a look at my resume. He said, your resume looks outstanding. He said, do me a favor, send this to Jan Fry. I had no clue how big a deal Jan Fry was until I started my training. But so I sent a resume to Jan Fry. He calls me back a day later and says, how do you need a job? He said, why aren't you working? I said, Mr. Fry, I don't mean to sound sarcastic, but I said, if I knew the answer to that question, I wouldn't be talking to you today. He said, quite frankly, he said, your reason and your situation is why the VA wants to partner with the National Federation of the Blind to provide equality and opportunity and success within the workplace. It was then I started my paperwork with Central HR in Washington, D.C., moved to Illinois in the middle of July, was here for 3 weeks, and got shipped to Frederick, Maryland to learn how to become a contracting specialist for the federal government. Paul and I were put through the rigors of educational-based training, which we had little to no problem with since we're both well-versed in school. However, there was a technology portion of training utilizing a particular government database that has, shall we say, a little bit of inaccessibility issues. Paul and I took that time to not only learn the system, but we also sat down with the IT consultants and let them know how JAWS spoke with the database. So subsequent blind people coming through this program or coming through the federal procurement program wouldn't have the same learning curve that Paul and I had. We wanted to make things better for those that that come after us. And I think that that was also an opportunity for Paul and I to educate the IT consultants of the simple changes that any web-based product can make to become accessible. A lot of times it can be as simple as labeling things properly.
Buttons.
So that was a great opportunity. Another opportunity that Paul and I had to educate the federal government. I almost Yeah, I almost said what I wasn't supposed to say. But Paul and I had a great opportunity to educate the federal government via a staff meeting regarding accessibility issues with the way the federal procurement training program was run. For the most part, they had things in order, but there were just a few minor changes, and Paul did a great job of mentioning some of those hurdles that ourselves had to hop over. But that's that. And we got back from training. Just got back this week. Haven't really. We're both kind of chomping at the bit to start. Doing what we've been trained to do. Paul and I use the same assistive technology things, but I'm anxious to utilize the trial and error process to know what is going, because this job takes a lot of organization skills. To be very frank, there's a lot, the office uses a lot of hard copy folders and binders and things of that nature. So I'm very anxious to start the trial and error process to figure out how are my blindness skills going to work with my coworkers and coexist to become a successful, successful contract specialist for the federal government. I think that this is a great opportunity to educate the federal government in regards to the fact that blind people are competent and capable, and although that we are going to get to the same result as our coworkers, the way that blind people get there is in a different manner, and that's okay. So that's kind of my experience. So I don't know, do you want to turn over to
yes, before I forget, the scholarship committee will meet in 218B immediately after general sessions. 218B. Now we do have time for questions, so I get the first one. I would like to hear from Paul and Nick a little bit about how your fellow trainees dealt with your blindness. I take it you were the only two blind guys in your training session?
That's true.
Yes, that is true. We were the only two blind people within our training session. I think that, and I was talking to Justin Salisbury in between IABS and general session, and I think that a positive display of effective and efficient blindness skills is a great way to create a positive relationship with your peers. Because if you're doing something and you're productive, but you're doing it in a manner that nobody else knows what the heck you're doing and why you're doing it, it's going to cause some eyebrows to raise, so to speak. It's going to create a social interaction. And several times, especially in the beginning, Paul and I would be asked, well, you know, how do you do that? Or why are you doing things that way? A lot of descriptive issues. We might ask them about something that the instructor was saying, this, that, there, you know, yada, 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 whatever, things of that nature. And it created an avenue of education for Paul and myself to let our peers know that we are, in fact, on a level playing field with them. And I think that a positive use of effective blindness skills goes a long way in doing that.
We did have one, we had a project where we had to write a white paper on, it was one of our skill building classes, and we wrote a white paper, and we were going to go over it in groups, and the interesting thing was the weather was really good out, so like, hey, why don't we just go outside? They had picnic tables outside, and we'll go over our white papers. So one of the guys, Jay, just as everybody was getting ready to go, he goes, hey, guys, make sure you email those to Paul and Nick. So they can have copies and they can take them out because we had our laptops. So they can take their copies out and we can all go over our papers together because everybody else was, they kind of picked up on stuff like that. The instructors, we got our program manager, it was called a cohort, our group. There were 29 of us and then we had a program manager over us. And, we kept in touch with him, Dave, this we need attention on and that we need attention on, it got to the point, actually, one day, again, we had another class coming, and there was the professor or the instructor sent us the email that had the PowerPoint in it, and she even mentioned, well, one of these is upside down, so it might be kind of hard. You might have to get with somebody on that, and another one was a table that was kind of involved. So even before she started going over that, the class got to the first break, and there was an email from one of the women upstairs, and she said, Paul and Nick, would it help if I put this in a Word format or Excel format? What works out better for you? I mean, she had already been proactive and was on that. And so I actually got excited and I ran upstairs on break and I was like, this is really cool. Let's see what we can work on that. But the receptivity, I mean, even here in Hines or in up in Chicago area, the agency we're working for, our bosses and like that, we had a meeting going, I mean, right, Nick set up a meeting right quick when that, like that scanner, when it first came out and that PDF said, you know, inaccessible. So he got with his boss and right away we had my boss, his boss, and another guy, they had the Xerox guy, our official rep was there like that afternoon or the next day. We're trying to figure what the solution may be. And same thing over in Frederick. I mean, the receptivity and it's just been unbelievable. Of course, it's from the top down too. You know, they said we need to make this work. So, I mean, they've been very receptive about things, which is very cool.
To kind of echo what Paul said, the receptiveness has been great, but I also think that stems from the fact that Paul and I have also been proactive, and Samir too, because he wouldn't be where he is without being proactive. I think that people's receptiveness towards our blindness and and creating or voicing their opportunity to include what needs to be included to provide avenues, you know, to access speaks to the fact that they are of the mindset that, hey, these blind people can be an integral member of success. So we need their brain power as well as ours. So how are we going to figure out, how are we going to work with them to figure out ways to, you know, to provide avenues to access the same learning materials or the same work materials as everybody else. So,
Rhonda, you were looking for the floor?
I am, yeah.
Can we get her mic, please?
Yep.
Thank you.
First of all, welcome to the federal government.
Thank you.
And just in time to get furloughed.
Just in time to get furloughed.
Right.
I don't know if everybody caught it.
But second, I just wanted to, a couple things. One is just to sort of touch on the complexity of the work that these guys are going to be doing. The law that they, or the regulation that they're working with is called the Federal Acquisition Regulation, and it's longer than the Affordable Care Act, and you're hearing about that right now.
2,000-page manual. Yep.
2,000 pages.
And several of us who work in contracting have read it from cover to cover, and I hope you, good luck, and have lots of coffee.
Yeah.
You have to. But touch on something you said regarding Jan Fry, and those of you that were at the national convention heard him speak about this initiative he's doing. And those of us in the disability employment field in particular, really, he's sort of the up-and-coming famous guy because of what he's doing is so innovative and creative. Traditionally, blind people have not really been in the federal contracting arena, which the federal government is the largest employer in the United States. Federal contracting is greater than federal employment. There's more federal contractors than there are federal employees. So it's huge, and blind people have been traditionally left out of it. So Jan Fry is this dude at very high up in the Veterans Administration who decided one day, it's kind of dumb that we're not hiring blind people. Let's hire blind people. So he actually has three initiatives going on, and I'm telling you this sort of for a purpose to get some of you who are looking for jobs employed. As these gentlemen are, and one of his initiatives was to get blind people on his personal staff. So here he is, this high-ranking VA official, and he's got like five blind people working directly for him right now, which is pretty huge. The second thing is he's got the program that these gentlemen are working on and getting trained up to do contract specialist and ultimately contract officer work. And then the last is that he's plucking students up and putting them in this two-year program to get them trained up to also come into the contracting field, and they'll actually pay for you to go to school, for college, to get the basics that you need. And he's specifically interested in blind people. So if anybody has an interest in that arena, Jan Fry is somebody that I've come to know fairly well, and I have his contact information, would be happy to share it with him. In the meantime, I wanted to ask you very quickly, have you read the FAR? And if so, what's your favorite part?
Favorite part
of the FAR.
Is she joking? You guys were supposed to laugh at that because she's joking, because there's not a favorite part of a 2,000-page document that is extremely monotonous and wordy.
No, it's the end.
Part 8.4, FSS, which is where we work. that's our department.
Say that again. I think people missed it.
Part 8.4, which is where we work. FSS is the Federal Supply Schedule.
We work at part 8.4. That's it. As far as reading the FAR, yes, and it's extremely wordy, and it is very, I don't even know how to describe it. I've never actually seen a document like that. The best description that was given to us, I think, by an instructor over in Frederick was, you guys are basically lawyers without having to take the bar.
It has a lot of stuff. You go to like FAR 12.360. You go there and it'll say, it'll start talking about that regulation. It'll say, you know, as prescribed by 52.202, or unless you're procuring under this part 36 point. So it kind of goes all over the place.
Tons
you have
of,
to go over 36 back to 12, and it's kind of all over the place. But one thing I did want to mention,
if
as far as you
hiring...
If you
have trouble sleeping, read the federal acquisitions requirements. Google it, and if you have trouble sleeping, go ahead and give that a read, because...
But as far as, like, his three initiatives that, in fact, they did get with us, they've got... February, they've already got blind people lined up in the next class, and they were like, you know, that's why we had a meeting with six staff members only a couple weeks ago as far as, you know, what's some best practices. In fact, they're even saying... What's a good number of blind people to bring in? Can we bring in like four? Can we bring in six? And so they're asking those questions, but they've already got them lined up to be coming in February on the next class.
They want blind people to succeed in the federal government. They are pushing for opportunities for qualified blind people to become employed and to be integrated into society like everybody else is. They want this thing to work. They are trying. They're willing to bend, and they're willing to work, and they're willing to listen. The federal government, along with the National Federation of the Blind, want this to work. They want this to be something that that contributes to the independence of the blind across the country.
We should really have you guys speaking for it.
Another point is. You know, the contracting requires at least 24 hours business credit hours with business courses, and they have a listing. You know, you can find that pretty easy, you know, as far as accounting or different stuff as far as startup. But also, if you've got prior veteran service, I mean, by all means, you really have to go for it, because you already is it like, I don't know what the point system is, but if you're going, is it 5 points? I mean, like that, if you've got that at least 24, and you've got, you know, if you've got prior service, it's great deal. It's a great deal.
I think if I was a veteran, I'd find a way to start a business with the priorities that they're giving us now.
Exactly.
Seriously. If I weren't a lawyer, if I'm going to start out now, I think as opposed to being a lawyer, I'd be one of these entrepreneurs over here.
Because you have the opportunity within to secure contracts, and favors are giving based on, let's say, service, you know, veteran-owned businesses or disabled veteran-owned businesses or woman-owned businesses or businesses in particular portions of cities, underutilized businesses. And if you have a combination of two or more of those, you've got the golden ticket, so to speak. So if you have veteran service, I would seriously be looking at starting a business.
Other questions? Denise, are we ready to wrap this up?
Yes, we are.
Okay. If anybody else needs me to make announcements before we break, while Denise is doing these last door prizes, this is your chance. Now, Nick and Paul will be around for the banquet. Samir, can you stay for a bit in case people want to come up here and ask you something they didn't want to ask you publicly?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I appreciate that.